We're carrying on our series on the born identity. We've gone through formed in his likeness, forgiven and set free, filled with the Spirit, followers of Christ. Matt Skirton did a splendid job last week. And this week we are talking about fighting for victory. I wonder this morning, what classes as a victory for you? It might be waking up in the morning. I know some of us, it's very hard to wake up. It may be waking up. If you're a family person, it may be getting your children out of bed, changed, and out of the house together without forgetting one of your children. It might be something like that. It might be kind of, I don't know, maybe you're a sports fan and maybe your favorite team is winning. Maybe it's getting to church before the last song plays. I don't know. I mean, we all have our own levels of victory. And so it could be something a bit more serious though. It could be getting over that long-term sickness that you've had. It could be, maybe a promotion at work. It could be something that is just, finding that right person, that right fit for you. I don't know what victory looks like for you and on a daily term, but we all long for victory, don't we? We all long to live in victory. We all long for those successes because those successes, they're exciting. They recharge us. They spur us on to keep going. And actually, when we get defeat after defeat, it can be quite frustrating. And that's why we all long for victory. If you are a Christian today, I can reassure you that you are living in victory. And you're like, what? Well, it says in 1 John 5, verse 4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." If we have been born of God, we can overcome the world. So once we are Christians, once we give our lives to him, we become victors. We are victors through Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to sit down. We're done. Wouldn't it be easy? Wouldn't that be great if that was done? Job done. I'm a victor. Job done. But actually, when life comes, we don't always feel like victors, do we? We don't always feel like we are living in victory. When the pressures of work come, when sickness comes our way, when actually we just feel like everything is a struggle, struggle after struggle, time after time, just feeling like we are in a fight at all times. It's not easy to feel like a victor when everything seems to be crumbling around us. And so I wanted to go through, and I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, how can we then, as believers, fight for victory this morning and this week? Well, I believe that I've gone for 4 points. I've broken the buckskin mold again. And they all start with remember. Remember why, remember who, remember what, and remember where. So nice and simple. Hallelujah. So our first point is, remember why you are fighting. Remember why you are fighting. I know this may sound very strange because most people don't want to remember why they're fighting. You want to forget your fights as soon as possible, don't you? You don't really want to grab on to the fights that you have. But actually, it's so easy to forget why we're fighting. And it can escalate. I know that you all have, if you're married in this house, you probably have very perfect marriages. And I know there are people here that never argue, ever. And so, my wife and I, we have the odd disagreement now and again, just like tiny. But like sometimes I'll maybe say or I'll forget to communicate. I mean, men, we're not the best at communicating, let's be honest. But I'll sometimes forget to communicate and that will just really bug LaPeace. And so when I get home, I get the conversation, you know, the discussion. But soon enough, we start flying and throwing other ammo, don't you? You bring back that hurt that came back from a year ago, and you're like, boom, you like throw that on her, and she brings another one. And before you know it, the fight has escalated, and you're like, why are we fighting? And you forgot that actually you were fighting because you forgot to send a text message to say, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. But how often is that true in our relationships in life, isn't it? We escalate things so big and we start throwing in other things that actually are not important for us on a daily basis. We forget why we are fighting. And it's so easy, and it says in Ephesians 6, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul wasn't inviting us into spiritual warfare. He was informing us that we are in spiritual warfare. Our fight is not in the flesh, but it's in the spirit. Reminded in 2 Corinthians, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You know, this spiritual warfare is quite obvious in Africa. I remember once when I was preaching, and we were preaching through Nehemiah, and I was preaching on, I think, Nehemiah 9, and the topic was confession and repentance. And I remember I was preaching, and I was kind of just going through, and it was quite an emotive subject, calling people to confess and to repent and to bow before the Lord. And I just remember as I was preaching, one woman started to shout out. She started to kind of mutter things. Then it got louder and louder, and I just kept on preaching because I was like, Lord, just do something in her life. So I just kept preaching, and this woman started to really shout, and then she stood up and she started to shout abuse at me. She started to curse and to say all sorts of things as I continued to preach. Thankfully, the other pastors in the church came, and they took her away and they pulled her out the back. And she was possessed. As soon as they said the name Jesus, she started to convulse. She started to move and shake because she couldn't handle the name Jesus. Finally, after praying over her and doing what you need to do sometimes when you fight in the spiritual, she finally managed to say the name Jesus, and she was released. The weapons that we have in the spiritual warfare are very much easier to see, I think, in Africa than they are here. Our spiritual war here can be spiritually fighting comfort. It can be fighting apathy. It can be fighting affluence. It can be fighting ease. I don't know what it can be. It can be fighting fear and anxiety, which I think so cripple people today, in the West particularly. Our spiritual battle is not in the flesh, but it's in the spiritual realms. I wonder how you are fighting today. So often we face and we waste time and we waste energy. We waste money, resources, passion, vision, time, and calling. And we get so tired. Why? Because we're fighting in the physical. We forget to bring in the spiritual aspect of our everyday walk with God. I'm not saying that when you stub your toe, that's the devil trying to make you be angry. But I'm saying that there are things that we sometimes forget, that actually there is more going on in the spiritual world today. We must take authority over the battle and fight our battle on our knees and not with our fists. So we must remember why you are fighting. Secondly, remember who is fighting. Remember who is fighting. Romans 8 is just an amazing passage. I love the whole of Romans 8. But Romans 8, this part says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? And later on it says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. God is fighting for us, and we know that, and that's kind of preschool stuff, isn't it? But sometimes we forget that actually that is so important. And we can sometimes forget the importance that actually me plus God is the majority. Me plus God is much greater than any problem I'll face. But so often we try and face our challenges and our struggles on our own. We sometimes try and face our challenges in our own strength, in our own might, and in our own power. But actually, God said he is fighting for us. It doesn't matter, as it says. It says, if you can see, it says, who will bring any charge against us? If God is justified, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ, Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. He is there fighting for us. He is there interceding for us. It doesn't matter whether false accusation, trouble, hardship, persecution, God is on our side. You know, when Moses met the Red Sea after escaping Egypt, he came to an immovable object. And it says in Exodus 14, it says, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." When Moses came to that immovable object, when he saw the Red Sea, when the Egyptians were coming behind them and the Israelites were petrified, there was nothing he could do but involve the Lord God Almighty. And we all know that then he lifted his arms and the seas parted. What about when David met Goliath? One of my favorite stories. Here is this little boy, a little singer boy like myself, who wants to sing songs and have a bit of fun. But actually, the reality is he's meeting a Goliath who's actually over 9 feet tall, if you can imagine that. This man is scary and big and a giant. But what does David say as he goes? He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of the God of the armies of Israel. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike down and cut off your head." How many times when we're faced with our giants do we say, "I come before you with the name of the Lord God Almighty"? Or do we try and come with other things? What about Joshua when he came to the walls of Jericho? Great big walls, and there was just an impossible way to get through. But we all know that they just had to walk around the walls of Jericho. And on the seventh time, they blew their trumpets. And the walls came down, and it says, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king and its fighting men." God said that to him before he even started to do what he was doing. What about Jehoshaphat and the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the otherites? He was met with so much opposition, and he was met with so much problems that he didn't know what to do. But he sent out the worshippers, because he knew that he had to bring God glory. And it says in that passage, it says, "For the battle is not yours, but God's." So then what about Stuart when he meets his daughter Olivia and he's in the opposition of his daughter? Does he try and do it in his spiritual strength? No. He's not fighting. He's actually trying to do it in the power and the authority of the Lord God Almighty. Whatever you are facing, we must remember that we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. Victory in the Christian life is not the absence of conflict, but the presence and the protection of God in the midst of conflict. God is in our everyday battles. No matter how big and no matter how small, we can rest assured that he is fighting for us. I love this poem, and it says, "More than conquerors through him who loves us. Read the promises o'er and o'er. Not almost or nasty or very nearly, but conquerors and more. When the world, when the world to sin would lure me, is there victory over me? Can I stand against the pressure and a conqueror truly be? When the tempter, like an angel, garbs himself in robes of light, can I recognize his cunning, be a victor in the fight? And when passions rise within me, anger, jealousy, and pride, can I still be more than conqueror when by these I'm sorely tried? By myself, I'm weak and helpless, and I'll fall in sore defeat as upon life's rugged highway with temptation I shall meet. But with Christ, oh, blessed assurance, more than conqueror I shall be, as I yield him full possession, and he lives and reigns in me. But with Christ, oh, blessed assurance, more than a conqueror I shall be." Is that our everyday cry? Oh, when I wake up in the morning and I feel tired and I don't want to do anything, do I say, "Oh, with Christ, I am more than a conqueror"? So we remember why we are fighting, we remember who is fighting, and we remember what we are fighting with. You know, I come from a family, as you may have, or you probably know, we lived in Congo, and my parents were we just loved kind of family time. But we also knew as children when we'd overstepped the mark. My parents were not scared to use a wooden spoon in a way of discipline. And I just joke every often that it hasn't affected me that much. I just have the odd twitch. But actually, I much appreciate the fact that they brought me up in that way. But I remember one day my dad is normally the one who used to give out the discipline, because he was more kind of calm and collective, where my mum was more of a extrovert, let's say. And that occasion, my father was not around. And so my mother was the one left in charge, and me and my brother were kind of spurring each other on, and we were just getting on my mum's nerves. And it just got to that point where there was no return. My brother overstepped the line and he just went too far. So my mum, she saw red. She just saw, like, she became a bull. You know, those like moments where she's just charging. And so she charges into the kitchen trying to find the wooden spoon. She runs to the utensils. She grabs one that she thinks is a wooden spoon, and she runs over to get my brother, running around the house. Finally, she catches him. She lifts it up, but it's a spatula. So the end of the spatula flies off, and all she's got left is a stick, and it just goes like that. This massive discipline moment turned into a little stick on his bottom, because she'd picked up the wrong utensil. I'm sure if she'd gone with a big hit and it was at a wooden spoon, it would have caused quite a lot of pain. But actually, it was the wrong utensil. It was the wrong thing for the moment. And that's what we remember from Ephesians 6. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything to stand firm then, with the breastplate of the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit. God has given us everything we need, but so often we forget to take up what is rightfully ours to fight the battle that we face on a daily basis. The belt of truth, you probably know, but it means it represents the biblical beliefs. It represents biblical doctrine that we so often sometimes forget to gird around us, that keeps us grounded, that keeps us on the foundation solid and true. The breastplate of righteousness helps us to remember that our righteousness, as we boldly approach, as we go into battle, we don't go alone, but we go according to the righteousness of God through Christ, who died on the cross. The gospel of peace. If there's no gospel, then what's the point? The shield of faith, because we need that to protect us. The helmet of our salvation, which is our assurance that God has won and is winning the battle every day and has won the ultimate victory. The sword of the Spirit, which is his word. He's unshakable, he's unmovable, and his perfect word. Through prayer and through worship, we all have everything that we need in order to fight our battles. I don't know if you knew, but did you know that Scotland was saved by a thistle? In the year 1263, the Scots and Danes were fighting over their territory. At that point, there was a lot of issues between the Scots and the Danes, because the Danes still claimed that Scotland was a part of their territory. And so as they were fighting, one night the Danes managed to get into the camp of the Scots, and they managed to land on the Scottish coast. But under the cover of darkness, in their wisdom, they thought it would be wise to take off their shoes so that they could go and sneak up on the army and defeat them whilst they were sleeping. But sure enough, as they took it off, they were walking through, and one man yelled a scrape, "Yeah!" because he'd landed on a thistle. He hadn't had the right tools in order to make sure that he could walk confidently with the gospel of peace. He came barefooted to a fight that he needed to be prepared for. Simple illustration, but it shows us that so often we don't every day put on what we need to put on. We forget to leave our helmet. We forget to leave the shield of faith, and we slowly become discouraged. We slowly become beaten up because we haven't got the tools in place that God has given us. God has given us everything that we need. We just need to put them in place. If they are good enough for the disciples, if they were good enough for Paul, then they're good enough for me. So remember why you are fighting. Remember who is fighting. Remember what is fighting. And I'm wary of time, so we're going to go to the next one. Remember where you are fighting from. Remember where you are fighting from. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Hallelujah. "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." You know, the sermon title of this sermon is Fighting for Victory. But I want to say this morning, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, if you believe the power of the gospel, if you believe the power that we have received because of the shedding of Jesus' blood and the breaking of his body upon the cross, if you believed that he has taken on all your sins, your transgressions, your fear, your doubt, when he died and he stretched out his hands and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he bowed his head and he said, "It is finished." If you believe that today, we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. It's a change in our mindset. It's a change in our attitude, that actually we don't need to fight for victory. It may feel like those battles that we're facing are a fight every single day, and we might not win those small battles. But we can stand assured, we can stand in the knowledge that we are fighting from a place of ultimate victory. That Jesus, who died on the cross for us, who took it all upon himself, was the one who won the ultimate victory. "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory?" As Christians today, we will come to death and we will wave it goodbye, because we will go to glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? This morning, whatever thing we face, whatever circumstance comes our way, we are not fighting for victory. We do not need to feel like we are fighting alone, because we are fighting with a God who has already won the ultimate battle, the ultimate war, and we can stand in the confidence that he has made a way. You know, in World War II, there was a man whose name was Sub-Lieutenant Hiro Onado. I can't really pronounce his name, but it was 1994. And this man was a sub-lieutenant in the Imperial Japanese Army. And he was ordered by his general to stay on the island in the Philippines and to hold out for the glory of the empire. And so that's what he did. He fought in 1994. But soon later in 1995, we all know, as we remember those, that in 1995, the war was over. 1945, the war was over. Allied bombers, they bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the Japanese finally surrendered. The war was over, but this man didn't know. So he kept fighting, one day after another day, one year after another year. He kept fighting because he didn't know. 29 years later, he was still fighting World War II. In the Philippines. They sent police with megaphones. He wouldn't back down because he thought it was a trick. They went over him and they put letters from his family. They put the newspapers on. They cast them across the whole of the Philippines in order to tell him. But he thought it was all a ploy to make him surrender. 29 years later, it took them to make sure they brought back his general to order him to stand down. That he finally surrendered 29 years later. Sometimes we can be like that. We can be fighting a battle which is not ours to fight. We can be fighting because we forget that the victory is already won. We are victors in Christ. I am more than a conqueror. In Christ Jesus. I am not a conqueror in myself. I am not a conqueror because who my family are. I am not a conqueror because of my success or my possessions or anything else. I am a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. This morning, I want us to just worship him. I want us to give him praise because we are victors in Christ. We have the ultimate victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Let's stand up and worship. Because God's people don't simply fight for victory, but from victory. Because the Lord has already won the battle this morning. We are going to sing as a song of worship and praise to our Lord God Almighty.